Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
I know some of you liberal media have been reporting that there are only three people in our studio, but let the record show there are five.
Official photographs.
If you want access to American Family Association anymore, you better fairly report that. All right, Tim Wildman here. Welcome, everybody, to the radio program. Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I was doing a sad parody of Sean Spicer on Saturday, the new press secretary for President Donald Trump, as he blasted the media for a couple of things that the Trump administration, they were being treated unfairly on. And we're going to talk about that and other things today, including my trip to Washington, D.C. to attend the inauguration and some events surrounding it. Ed Battagliano in studio with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman, who operates our Facebook world, is over there doing his job already. Walker, good morning.
Good morning.
What are you going to be doing today now?
Well, we're doing Facebook Live as we do Monday through Friday every week, which is you can watch the show from our Facebook page, the Today's Issues Facebook page.
And you're going to be doing what?
And I'm going to be posting all the stories, both good and bad, on our Facebook page.
Hopefully more good than bad.
Yeah.
But the stories that we talk about on the program today, you're going to post on our Today's Issues Facebook page so that people can have access to
Correct. The
information themselves if they would like to forward or read.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Good to be with you guys, and so glad, Tim and Walker, that to report to you guys were not arrested in Washington.
No,
we were not.
No, let me just I was going to talk about that for a few minutes, what our experience was in Washington, D.C. I'm going to just say, first of all, I think it was a Secret Service, Walker, that was in charge of the security for inauguration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did a fantastic job, them and whoever else was responsible for planning the day, because security was tight. There were no incidents.
Mm-hmm.
There were, if you saw the TV and you saw those few, I say few, there's a couple hundred of them or more, protesters who were violent and destroying property and burn a car and everything. They were a few blocks away from the perimeter, so those people were never a threat to any of the mm-hmm. attendees of the inauguration. Hundreds of thousands who were on the mall mm-hmm. That day in front of the Capitol. Don't you agree with the security?
Yeah, the whole hype about protesters going to shut down D.C. on Inauguration Day was way overrated.
Right.
Way overrated.
Right.
Walking from where we were dropped off by vehicle to the Ronald Reagan International Business Center on Pennsylvania Avenue, saw maybe four or five people with signs.
Right.
That's it.
Right, yeah. So there was, I saw a guy with a sign, he's not my president, this is not my president.
Right.
This guy's in denial, like, I guess, people who would say that. He is your president. If you live in America, he is your president, if you're a citizen of America. Mm-hmm. If he's not your president, why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me he's not your president? Why do I care that he's not your president? If you're not your president, then why do you feel the need to tell everybody?
Right.
Huh? I mean, that's just... Anyway, all right. So anyway, I wanted to tell. I talked about this Friday with you on the show. I called in, Fred.
Yes.
Ed, what's your name again?
Ed.
Yeah.
Ed.
Ed. Fred.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Jed.
Ed.
Jed. Maybe we can get a Jed in here.
So we're in Washington at a event on Thursday night, Inauguration Day Eve, and. What it was basically was a bunch of, it was called the Christian Gala. It was basically a lot of like-minded believers and groups and people like AFA who came together to, hug necks and celebrate the victory. By the victory, I mean the victory for religious liberty and good judges and pro-life. hope, right. hope that we right. didn't have under the Obama administration. Not that President Trump will be perfect, but we hope that he will be on our issues. But we'll have to wait and see. Time will tell. But so we're winding it down, and about 11 o'clock, I mean, this was started like at 6:30, and about 11 o'clock, it went, the event was as long. It was wonderful. It was planned out, had music and preaching and great food and fellowship. And so we're sitting there getting ready to go back to the room and get a call from a friend of mine. And he says to me, who's working for the Trump administration. He says, hey, I have two places for the church service in the morning with the president and the vice president if you want to attend.
And he said, well, let me pray about it.
Yeah.
Okay. God says it's okay.
So it's like 11 o'clock at night, and I'm going, well, yeah. So Allison, I talked to my wife, Allison. Yeah, we want to do that. So we go back to our room, I guess, about midnight. Well, he says, well, if you want to do this, my friend says, you and Allison need to be at this hotel, not the hotel we were staying at, but another hotel, at 6:30 in the morning. Okay, so that means we leave at, we have to get up to make sure we get there via cab.
And that was to clear security.
Yeah.
At 6:30.
Secret Service security. Mm. So we got about 2 or 3 hours sleep max because we're all hyped up about what we're about to do. You know, it's so exciting to be able to have this opportunity. So we go down, we get through security, get on the bus, 6:30. They bus us over to, it's about 7 o'clock, they bus, probably more like 8. We were probably in a holding area for like an hour. Again, they put us on a bus, and we got a police escort to the St. John's Church, which is about 15-20 minute drive from where we were, and went into the St. John's Church. This is the Church of the Presidents. It's a very famous historic church, one block north of the White House. If you've been to Washington, D.C., that big the yellow church one block north of the White House, and if you've been on our tours, I pointed it out when we've been there. So we go in, we sit down, and this is a small church. I'm talking about seating about 200 people. 200, 250 tops were in there. It's an Episcopalian church. And so at 8:30, in walks the vice president, his family, and then in walks President Trump, then President-elect Trump and his family. And I guess I'm 20 feet. 30 feet from where they are. And so you're sort of pinching yourself going, is this really happening? And it was about a 30 to 40 minute Christian worship service.
That's great.
Dr. Robert Jeffers spoke, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, who is personal friends with President Trump and has been for a year or more. He issued a challenge to President Trump, and it was wonderful. He preached on Nehemiah, and then after that, Vice President James Dobson came up to the podium and had Mike Pence, the governor of Indiana, the vice president, former governor of Indiana, now the vice president elect, now vice president, stand up. So everybody else is seated. James Dobson's up on the platform, and Mike Pence is standing, and James Dobson is admonishing him with scripture, challenging him to live out his faith, and then prayed over him. Mm-hmm. It was powerful. Mm. I mean, this was powerful stuff right here. Then after that, James Robinson comes up.
That's three heavy hitters. In terms of
Jeffers, ministry. Dobson, and Robinson,
right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, these guys are Christian warriors,
right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are solid, all friends of ours, and people know who I'm talking about. James Robinson comes up, you know, and stands at the podium in the front of the church pulpit and asks Donald Trump to stand up. So everybody else is seated. Donald Trump standing up, front row, and with his family, his whole family's there, all of them. And James Robinson does the same thing to Donald Trump. Basically saying, I think this is your hour, you're God's man for the time, and we're expecting good things from you from a Christian perspective. Mm-hmm. And then he challenged him, admonished him, and then he prayed over him. And it was powerful. I mean, it was wow. I mean, so that happened. And then after that, our last song was Onward Christian Soldiers.
In the church service.
Yeah. That's a classic Christian hymn, but a lot of churches, liberal churches, won't sing it today because they feel it's too militant. Of course, it's not talking about
physical
war. It's talking about spiritual war. But anyway, so we sang that song, and then the vice president and Secret Service is around too. I mean, they're visible. I mean, this is a, you know, they the vice president, the president, and their families are escorted out. Then everybody else can get up and leave. But man, that was the way the day started on Friday for President Trump and Vice President Pence.
That's a thrill.
To be able to be in there, and guess what? When we left, everybody else had left. We were like the last 20 people to leave, Allison and I. And they had calligraphied cards that said reserved for Trump family, reserved for Pence family, reserved for Secret Service. These were cards that were placed on those pews in the church. And they were still there.
And guess what?
And I got them. No, I got them. Seriously.
That, you know what? That is a real keepsake.
Yeah, it's an heirloom that, you know, 100 years from now, my great-great-grandchildren will be saying, hey, look at what I got here.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
In St. John's Episcopal Church.
Yeah.
That is a church.
The day of the inauguration.
With the exception of President Nixon in 1973, I read every president-elect has attended service there at St. John's Episcopal Church since FDR, I think.
It's amazing.
Almost the majority of the 20th century has, as a part of the inauguration day's events, they go to a church service to start the day.
Yeah.
I think our listeners are happy to hear that because it puts some kind of Christian context into what's been happening.
Yeah, and also, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Fred, but just to make note, we do not worship or admonish Trump as if he's some special man. There's something special about the man himself.
He's not Superman.
No, he's not. Right. He's a human just like us.
Right.
And you know, we don't really know his spiritual state. Some say he's saved, but you know,
he's Christian friendly. I don't know what that means.
Maybe
but
would say his fruit doesn't show. But it's not him, the man himself, that we're mainly admiring. Where it's the people around him, you know, the godly men and women around him that we are proud of.
Right. Now, should I assume the Episcopal Church, which this church is,
was
not responsible for inviting Dr. Jeffress and
James priest, that's what you call him, isn't it?
Yes, Episcopal priest.
Okay, the priest was very welcoming and cordial. He was the first one to speak, and he said, "Welcome to St. John's Church. I'm the pastor here." And then he said, "This has been a tradition of this church, like Ed said, forever, how long?" And so then he turned the service over to, their choir, 8 or 10 members or whatever. I couldn't see them from my vantage point. I'm talking about the church's choir sang. And so that was their part. But the message was by Dr. Jeffress. So
I believe it's Trump's team.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, yeah.
And if that is the case, that is really impressive that they would ask some of the most conservative voices in this country. They wanted them. They wanted the challenge from them in that service. That is very positive.
Well, Dr. Robert Jeffress, Dr. James Dobson, and James Robinson, I mean, I can just tell you, having been there, they were preaching the truth, brother, and they were – those are three godly men
They believe God's word. They spent their whole lives in the service of the truth of God's word, and they believe Christians should be active. I mean, they living out their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I was impressed to hear those names when you.
Yeah.
Well, then you go to the inauguration, and they had the Paula White,
mm-hmm.
Who's a personal friends with the president. She's a TV. I was not as familiar with her as evidently she's been a personal friend of his for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
She closed her prayer in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then you had evangelist and also ministry leader Franklin Graham, who we all know.
Dr. Another
Graham.
Giant.
Another giant. Mm-hmm. And then there was Sammy Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Too, who spoke and prayed. We know him. He's a friend of ours. He has a group, I forgot the name of it, basically it's Hispanic.
Evangelical
Hispanic group.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. They all prayed at the inaugural.
Yeah.
So.
Every one of them probably in Jesus' name.
Well, whatever Donald Trump, whatever his shortcomings are in terms of his Christian life, the man sure doesn't mind the gospel being preached or pastors telling him. You know, challenging him on things. So
it's so encouraging because, you know, if it was all just for show back during the election campaign, they could have said, okay, now I'm elected. I really don't care.
Right.
But they,
exactly.
They've been elected. And on their day, their special day, inauguration day, these are the caliber of people that are there. Yeah. You were telling us, I think there's some Hollywood actress has tweeted out that, she never heard the name of Jesus mentioned so much.
That was comedian Sarah Silverman.
I'm not familiar.
She had not heard. Yeah, she tweeted out that she had not heard the name of Jesus Christ spoken so much as it was in the inauguration. This was a liberal critic of Trump's.
What a great testament.
I know.
Yeah, that's right.
I know, absolutely. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano and Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson. Let me just say this, too. It was just wonderful to be a part of the day in Washington, D.C. We're privileged and honored to have the opportunity to go. Going to that church service was not something I anticipated doing. As I told you earlier, that was just a surprise call at 11 o'clock at night saying, hey, you got to be here at 6:30 if you want to go to this church service with the president and the vice president. Let me just say this, kind of hearkening back to what Walker was talking about. You know, why Donald Trump, who's lived his life as a New York business tycoon and much of his life as a playboy, let's be honest, and he writes about it.
Right.
Up until the last probably 10 years or so, that's how he would be identified about 10 years ago or so. I say I think he's mellowed and moderated some in his life, in terms of getting too old to party all the time, I guess.
Right.
But you know, the man's never taken a drink. He doesn't drink at all.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. He raised his kids evidently right because look at how they look. What model citizens they are. But let me just say, why a man like that with his background, no really Christian background other than. He says his mother took him to a Presbyterian church when he was a child, and he remembers the Sunday school lessons that he was taught. I'm talking about Donald Trump. Why he would pick Mike Pence, who is a evangelical Christian leader, he calls it, Mike Pence says, I'm a Christian first, a conservative second, and a Republican third. This kind of guy he is.
Right.
From Indiana.
Not a state that you need.
Donald Trump didn't
election.
Need Mike Pence to win Indiana. He was going to win Indiana anyway. So that's not advantageous. So why he would pick him, you go, why would that be? I have a theory. This is just a theory that Donald Trump sees in these Christian men like Ben Carson and Mike Pence. And
Jeffers
and others that he has in his around him, he sees in them sincerity and commitment to Christ and a loyalty, and a people who keep their word.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
All these things mean, especially loyalty and people who keep their word. I think that means something to Donald Trump. He knows he's not going to tell something, and then Mike Pence is going to go out and
tell
other people. It's going to go around him and try to take advantage of situations. The Christians I'm talking about. So he sees their character is what I'm trying to say, and that's something he admires in them.
Yeah. Well, without trying to psychoanalyze Donald Trump, it may be something that he saw in his mom. I don't know obviously don't know anything about his mother, really.
Well, he admires his mom's Christianity.
Right, except what Trump has shared about his mother. He may see in, like he said, these men, something that he admired in his mom.
I think it's authenticity.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a smart businessman. He wants people around him he can trust
in
business. So now he makes a decision to run for president. I want the kind of caliber of people that these people represent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was looking at his family. He's got his kids, his grandkids all around him. Like you say, model citizens. He's done something right.
Yeah.
You know, and
as a dad,
he has.
Yeah.
And so he decides to run for president, which is what he didn't need. I mean, he's a billionaire. He didn't need all of this.
No, but he's 70 years old. A 70-year-old billionaire does not sign up to be president of the United States. A 70-year-old billionaire is on his yacht in the Caribbean.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
But Donald Trump feels strongly.
Yeah.
And I think he wants to help America.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he sees problems in our country, and he wanted to use whatever expertise he had to lend a hand and try to help.
Yeah. Let me just finish to close out my thought to harken back to what Walker said. Donald Trump is just a man, and Mike Pence, these are just human beings. They put, as the old saying goes, they put their pants legs on one leg at a time, just like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure Donald Trump will do some things that disappoint, as all presidents do.
Right.
Your hope and prayer is that he'll do more good than bad.
Right.
You know, and that he will stick with his commitments that he made to the American people and, quite frankly, to the Christian community.
Right.
Because he got overwhelming support from the Christian community. Number one, because Hillary Clinton was so horrible on our issues that people said, wow, we can't go that direction. It'll be terrible for Christians for a long time to come. And we could see increased persecution. So a lot of people voted for Trump because they didn't want Hillary Clinton. Number two is he did take some bold stands that other Republican presidential candidates have not, especially on the pro-life issue.
That's right.
And the judges that Donald Trump did. And a lot of people are worried about national security and terrorism and people flooding over our borders illegally. He addressed all these things. He's got a list of promises that he's made that he's going to have to keep. But our job now is to pray for him and to support him when he does the right thing.
Right.
And if you're going to criticize him otherwise, you better get ready to be blasted by Twitter. It's going to be a different world out there. We've never seen anything quite like what I think Mr. Trump is going to be like as president in terms of his relationship to the media, for example. It's going to be, if you don't like confrontation, if that makes you squeamish, you better turn off the news. Right. Because Donald Trump is fixing to go to battle against the media if they treat him unfairly, and he views that unfair them, unlike anything we've ever seen before. A lot of people like that. They say it's about time somebody... you know, told these people where to get off. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
On the next edition of Today's Issues, there's plenty to talk about with a new president in office. And we'll hear from Sandy Rios and her perspective from Washington, D.C.
His speech was plain language. And for those of us that embrace what he's promising, what he says he's going to do. It was a wonderful speech.
That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, do you want to go on a vacation with a purpose? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. A lot of people love to go to the beach. I'm one of them. How about the mountains? Yeah, a lot of folks are raising their hand right now when I say the mountains. Well, this year, why don't you go with us on a spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and have a vacation with an educational and a spiritual purpose. If you'd like to go with us in June or September to D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, we'd love to have you join us. Just find out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will join us as our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way on our rich Christian heritage here in the U.S. We hope you can join us, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Americans who voted for President Donald Trump were the targets of violent backlash across the nation. Some were left bloodied and battered. Others were attacked with rocks and batteries. Rampaging mobs of angry leftists set fires, smashed windows, clashed with police. Even celebrities joined the melee. Madonna told a crowd of protesters she dreamed of blowing up the White House, a threat she later walked back. Dangerous days indeed. We are dealing with an alarming number of militant young fascists. Trained on public university and college campuses over the past 8 years, they pose a clear and present danger to our families and the republic. And all of us should be prepared to protect ourselves and our loved ones against these violent thugs. Conservatives are a peaceful people, but we will not be intimidated, nor will we be bullied. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, we're on Facebook Live. If you'd like to check it out, just go to the Today's Issues Facebook page, and we're live video streaming, and you can comment there. We appreciate all those who go to our Facebook page and interact with the rest of the listening family, and check that out, if you will. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. We've been talking about the inauguration. We haven't talked about the Crazy Women Day on Saturday, the Crazy Women's Day. I guess you would call that in what they called it officially. I think it was just, what was it called, Fred?
Women's March.
The Women's March.
Hey, you're not being very inclusive. There were men in that march, too.
That's right.
There were. Jeremy Wiggins, by the way, that's the voice you're hearing. Jeremy, tell us about your radio show on American Family Radio.
Heard every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Time called In the Trenches. Also on Facebook at facebook.com/AFR.
So what was it,
Women's March.
Yeah.
For all of those out there who feel like Donald Trump is going to do something to women and who are against that, whatever that something may be. And now I was talking with Janet Mefford. She was reporting on this a week or so ago, and you know, several men came up and said that they were going to march in this in support of women, and some of them said they were going to do it in heels. And I told Janet, I said, leave it up to the stupidity of a man to say he's going to do a 3-mile march in heels. It just shows you how little he actually understands.
These people, the ones who were there on Saturday, and
far left women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were several hundred thousand there. I don't know how many. Who knows exactly how many were there, but it was impressive numbers on the mall.
And there were similar marches in various places across the country. They claim
all together
across the country, there are about 3 million. Now, that's the figure that they are going with.
But now they're protesting Donald Trump the day after he was inaugurated.
Mm-hmm.
Fred, what do these people want?
Well, I think the big theme was abortion. They figure that Donald Trump is a threat to abortion rights. What's really interesting, and probably to lend credence to that, they called it the Women's March. There were pro-life women who wanted to march also.
Who were opposed to Trump.
Yes.
But they were pro-life.
Yeah, pro-life. And they were excluded. When the organizers found out, we don't want anybody with a pro-life view, any women with pro-life view, you're out.
Right.
So, you know, to call it a women's march, and feminists have done that for years.
Right. And, you know, the I listened to some of Madonna's speech, which was, and read Ashley Judd's speech, and both were so vile.
Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely vile. I'm not even going to discuss the kinds of things they said. It's all over the, you know, the web. I mean, in terms of, you know, you can hear both speeches. Absolutely vile. I don't know why. I guess, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but when your mind and heart is darkened, I don't know why they feel the need to be just nasty. I don't know why they wear that as a badge of honor. But, you know, the things, it's not just that I disagreed with what they said. It is the way they said these things, vulgar and obscene. And Ashley Judd reveled in being nasty. She said, I'm a nasty woman, and I'm going to keep being nasty, and I hope, you know, generations of women will keep being nasty about this. And they revel in it.
She basically called Trump Hitler.
Yeah.
Yes, she did.
This stuff was so over the top, Jeremy. And to call it a women's march as if all women, you know, this wasn't representative of pro-life women.
No.
And by the way, 53% of white women in America voted for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty significant number. This was the rally of women who support abortion. Basically, they should have titled it Abortion Rights March, because basically that's what this represented. And I think this is spiritual in the sense that these people represent, they're God-haters, is what they are. They're God-haters. And this abortion is basically their... They worship at the altar of this, Jeremy.
You're absolutely right, and I appreciate you bringing it up, Tim, because this is a spiritual. This is the depravity of man, full on view for the entire world to see. When you have 3 million people gathering together, like you said, at the altar of Molech,
around the world.
You have millions of people gathering together saying, "You better not take away our right to kill our babies." That's what they're saying.
That's what they were there for.
Yeah, don't you dare take my right away to murder my child in the womb. That's what you're saying.
One of the things Madonna said, she said she felt like blowing up the White House.
Yes.
Guys, yeah. Just think, if you had this kind of protest with this kind of language the day after Barack Obama was inaugurated.
Right.
Just think about that.
And let's say Toby Keith was singing, like, or speaking like Madonna was, and he said, I've been thinking about, I've wanted to go over and blow up the White House.
Mm.
Think of the backlash that he would receive, and that he would, it would be all kind of, the liberal media would be all over him. But Madonna says that, by the way, she's saying now, Madonna, when she said on Saturday that I want to go over and blow up the White House, she's saying now she was speaking metaphorically. Well, she wasn't doing that on Saturday. She didn't say I'm speaking metaphorically on Saturday.
It's taken out of context, Tim.
That's what she says.
She said it out of context.
I don't know how you can.
It was not. Now, do I believe that she seriously wants to, that she would seriously? I don't know. I don't think so. But I don't know. I can't get inside Madonna's head on that exactly. But what I'm saying is, her words on Saturday was, I thought about going over and blowing up the White House, and then she says, "But what good would that really do?"
Right.
That wouldn't change anything, I think, is what she was saying. So that's all she said about that. She didn't say, now, obviously, people, I'm using a metaphor here, or I'm only kidding, or I don't mean that like it sounds. There was no caveat.
Right.
On Saturday, it's only after we learn that the Secret Service and or the FBI is going to be asking her questions, I guess, on this, that she all of a sudden says, oh, no, I didn't mean it like that. But her use of the F word in front of millions of people,
including children,
two or three times.
And it was being covered by C-SPAN live. And CNN. Yeah, it was live.
Yeah. Shows you how vile
yeah.
these people are. Mm-hmm. And I heard stories about the signs that were there. when you're a God hater, you will do and say anything. And nothing inhibits you. Nothing stops you. You're not shameful. There's no shame. You have a Christian or even a God-fearing patriotic rally in America. You're not going to hear people using that kind of language from the podium. You're just not. You're not going to see signs that you have to cover your children's eyes over. It's because back to your you were making a big biblical reference there of what these people are basically doing. Moloch.
Is an ancient deity whereby people would take their babies, and there was this big bronze statue with its hands out and a big fire in its belly, and the fire was heated, and the babies would be placed on the altar and sacrificed so that, you know, that they're just like other human sacrifices, so that something good would happen to them. And really, I mean, I'm not trying to make light of the situation of a woman who is going through the tough times, but you can't mince words and call it, you know, you have to call a spade a spade. You are murdering a baby. It doesn't really matter the reasons. This is what is taking place, and these people who are marching are rejoicing in the deaths of these babies. 55 plus million, and the last, you know, Sunday was the 44th anniversary of Roe v. Wade.
Well, compare what you saw on the TV last Saturday with what you will see this Friday in Washington, D.C., when the March for Life will take place. Mm-hmm. And there will be thousands and thousands and thousands of women there. You won't see the kinds of signs that you saw on Saturday.
Right.
But here's probably you won't see the march because the mainstream media will not cover it.
Well, like the New York Times managed to write an entire article about the March for Life without including the March for Life.
Yeah.
I think that's a record. I don't know how you can write a news story. Like, if I'm going to write a news story about Ed Vitagliano and I don't actually write it about Ed Vitagliano, and then I pass it off as journalism and everybody says that's such a great article, but I don't actually talk about Ed Vitagliano.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this. Why do you think these women who gathered on the mall in Washington and at these other rallies around the country on Saturday so quickly after President Obama was inaugurated, why do they hate Donald Trump so?
Well, first of all, I think you're exactly right. All things feminist now are about abortion. I mean, that is the core of the movement now, the feminist movement. That's not to say that there aren't, concerns about violence against women or, you know, equal pay and those kinds of things. I'm sure that there is some of that. But the core of the movement now is abortion. And President Trump, we've all talked about it numerous times, I think, since the last debate before the election, when the difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton was painted in such brilliant colors about abortion, about the future of the Supreme Court, and the kind of justices that would be nominated. Partial birth abortion, all those things got an airing because I remember actually being kind of stunned at both of them, how clear and forthright and without any kind of hesitancy, both Trump and Clinton made clear their view on abortion. And I think there were a lot of other things that feminists might not have liked about Donald Trump, things they overlooked about Bill Clinton, okay? But his stand on abortion was, I think, foremost. So that was what Saturday was about. They might have talked, and they did talk about some other things, but it boils down to abortion.
But I think it's not only what he said in that third debate and the distinctiveness between he and Hillary Clinton, but he won the election.
Yes.
Despite saying that.
Right.
They feel threatened. For the first time in years and years and years, the left actually feels threatened.
Well, look at just let me just toss this in. Yeah. You're looking at the defunding, possible defunding of Planned Parenthood for real.
Mm-hmm.
The Hyde Amendment being codified into law, which means no public funds for abortion anywhere that federal funds go, and appointing justices in the mold of Antonin Scalia. So, yeah. To your point, yeah, they're afraid.
There were no big protests. I like George W. Bush, but there were no big protests like this after George W. Bush was elected.
Right.
Roe v. Wade's been around for a long time,
yep.
But they didn't feel threatened by George W. Bush. They really feel threatened because Donald Trump came out, told us what he believes on this, and he still won the election.
And he's apparently going to do it.
Yes.
Well, that's one of the stories. You know, you talk about the left being scared. That's one of the stories that I brought to the table was Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York has come out and said that no matter what the federal government does regarding health care, the state of New York is going to pay for it. They're going to pay for the contraceptions. They're going to pay for abortions. They're going to do it all. And it doesn't matter what the federal government does. Cuomo says, hey, New York's going to take care of it.
Let me just tell you what they're, yeah, to go along with what you guys are talking about. President Trump has vowed to appoint pro-life judges to the Supreme Court. As I've said before, and before I say this, please understand I mean this as a compliment. But it sounds like a criticism. Candidate Trump did not know any better than to say he was going to appoint pro-life judges to the bench. You're not supposed to say that like that. But Trump didn't care. He just said it. McCain wouldn't have done that. Romney wouldn't have done that. They, Republican presidential candidates, by and large, just don't come out and say they're going to appoint pro-life judges, because that's a litmus test, and then the liberals nail them, and then they, you know how all that works. But candidate Trump just came out and said it, and of course that's the way he operates. Pretty much, he just says things that he believes in. So they know, the political left in this country, that President Trump is going to appoint a pro-life judge to the Supreme Court, or judges to the Supreme Court. Well, I think they have a valid worry in this sense. If President Trump gets two appointees to the Supreme Court, tilting the balance from 5-4 conservative, it depends on who they would replace, but I'm talking about, let's say Ruth Bader Ginsburg gets replaced, one of the most liberal members of the Supreme Court. Let's say you're tilted to a 6-3 conservative advantage on the Supreme Court. Well, you could have the possibility of Roe versus Wade being overturned. That's a real possibility. And if Roe versus Wade was overturned, what that would mean, that would not outlaw abortion in America. This is what you're going to get from the political left. They're going to use that kind of language, that kind of hysteria, although I wish it was, but that's not right. Going to happen. What's going to happen is that, let's say Roe versus Wade is overturned, that only means that regulating abortion will be, go back to the states,
right,
as sure. It was prior to Roe versus Wade in 1973. So I'm sure in New York State, they would have abortion on demand through 9 months, and the state government would pay for everybody's abortion. That's that Cuomo's so abortion. And California, probably the same thing. But in states like Mississippi, for example, or Ohio, or, Arizona, those states, more conservative states, may choose to have stricter regulations.
Well, we're seeing that now on the state level, and I think the states are ratcheting it up to where they will have things already in place, or it'll be their legislation that'll prompt that challenge that we're seeing.
Right. Let me close by saying this about this. President Trump was asked about this on a 60 Minutes interview the day after he was elected, and he didn't back down.
Right.
What he said was, and Leslie Stahl tried to nail him on this, and I was thinking to myself, here, if a man's going to fold on something, he's about to fold.
Right.
Because he's already won, and what he can say now is, well, we'll see about that, or something to that effect. What he said was, I'm going to appoint pro-life judges to the Supreme Court. And she said to him, Leslie Stahl, CBS, well, what if that means then that some states outlaw abortion? And he says, well, I guess those seeking abortion will have to go to another state, which was the right answer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that's something you don't think you would hear from a Republican candidate, because they usually cower when they're pressed right. on this kind of an issue.
Their answer is usually, well, I just don't think the public's ready for Roe versus Wade to be overturned.
Right.
Which is their way of saying we're going to kick the can down the street some. I'm not going to deal with it. No, he didn't. He's not a politician. Like to your point, he didn't know that politicians. waver when the heat's turned up.
And, right. and you know, what saying that the public's not ready for that, that's, well, I mean, that's a lie, because we're seeing now more efforts from the part of states and state legislatures to end abortion at the state level. Like the House Bill 1197 here in the state of Mississippi has been put forward, which would criminalize abortion. We're seeing House Bill 948 in Texas that's been put forward that would criminalize abortion. We've had two in Kentucky of the heartbeat bill, or the pain sensitive bill and the ultrasound bill that have been put forward and have been signed into law by Matt Bevin. So we're seeing at the state level more and more legislation being passed.
Also, I can't remember exactly the words of Harry Blackburn, but Blackman. He was the majority opinion writer of Roe versus Wade in 1973, which allowed abortion in all 50 states. And he said this, something to this effect, that if medical science ever shows this to be a human being, then this could be overturned. I'm paraphrasing now, but do y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a lot has happened since 1973. In the area of medical science and life in the womb, the 3D ultrasound, for example. We know now that this is a live human being in the womb. There's no question about it. It feels pain. Yeah, it's a human being. If it's not, what kind of being is it?
Well, science finally caught up with what every 2-year-old yes. knows when they sees mommy's pregnant. They know there's a baby
right,
in there.
Right,
right, right. The problem with the political left in this country, one of the problems is that they used to hide behind the word choice to describe why they were pro-abortion. They would say, no, I'm pro-choice, not pro-abortion. Well, now that the curtain's been pulled back and we know through the advances in medical science exactly what we're talking about here, we're talking about an unborn human being in the womb being dismembered or murdered or scalded to death. Or else, if it isn't killed, it will grow into right. a 9-month term baby and come out the mother's womb, come out, you know, as a baby. But what these people now say, which is how evil is becoming so brazen in this country, is they will tell you, I don't care if it is a baby.
Yeah.
It's still the woman's right to have it killed if she wants to. Right. That's how brazen these people have become. So that's what we're up yeah. against. And they hate Donald Trump because he represents to them the chance that Roe versus Wade could be overturned. And they worship at the altar of abortion. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah. And, you know, medical science, all medical science has done is yet again prove what every Christian knows as well, that a baby is made in the image of God. God knit that baby together inside the mother's womb. And all medical science has done is just shown how ghastly of a procedure it really is. And you know, like you said, Tim, there's no pretense anymore. They know what they're doing.
Right,
they know
right.
it's a human being.
Right.
That does not matter. And so that also brings up the question too. So if you know it's a human being, okay, you know that's a human being in there, why stop at 9 months? I mean, what is feasibility? How viability?
Viability, yeah.
I mean, I have a 10-year-old. Should he die because he can't take care of himself? Or you know, there's right. people out there who'd say
they don't want to go down yeah. that road of logic.
Right.
That is the pro-abortion side, because it corners them when the area of logic. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Jeremy Wiggins, and Fred Jackson. What do you got for us there, Jeremy?
Well, Tim, I have some bad news for you when okay. it comes to golf.
You do?
I do. Not golf in this country, but China.
I was hoping Trump would now allow for the federal government to pay for my golf rounds at some of the Trump courses. But is that not what you're going to tell me?
No. Unfortunately, China has ordered more than 100 golf courses shut because the Communist Party believes that golf symbolizes corruption and capitalism, and they don't want their
It is
citizens.
Clearly a bourgeois sport.
Well, you spend, I don't know, $800
well, if you've
on
seen
putter,
me play, bourgeois is what comes to mind. Okay.
For me, it looks more like hockey than it does golf.
I just wanted to work the word bourgeois into a into a today's issues broadcast.
Is that the word of the day?
Was
it on the
calendar? Are you serious that the Chinese government is closing 100 golf courses for that reason?
It's part of an ongoing crackdown on a sport controversial for its links with wealthy elites.
Links.
That's a good play on words by Daily Mail. In 2015, the country's 88 million Communist Party members were banned from joining golf clubs in a corruption crackdown, which also targeted banquets and lavish gift giving.
Hey, let me just tell you this. Having known some golfers in my life, I don't golf, but I know Tim and others. This could be the end of the Communist Party in China.
Right. I'm all for Trump now.
Yes.
If China's going after golf, then Trump needs to shut them down on their trade.
China says no more golf, and the people riot.
The funny thing about it is probably a lot of American golf equipment is made in China, I would guess. I would guess.
Well, most things are made in China these days.
So but, I wonder how Chinese feel about that.
Yeah, and so what they're using things like groundwater is being redirected to the golf courses, and they're trying to cut down on that. But another thing, though, is you know, the Communist Party is wrought with corruption. And what has ended up happening is these Communist Politburo members are selling private land for uses in golf courses.
So underground golf.
Yeah. Well, they're so it's
I don't even know where to go with that one.
According to Tim's own testimony, you could probably call what he does underground golf. The kind of divots that he
ESPN reporting on the underground golfing movement in China. Oh, man, that's funny.
You have to show up 6 hours early, and you have a password, and you're only allowed 6 clubs.
Gosh, just think if you hit a hole-in-one in China and you couldn't tell anybody.
That's right.
That would be agony.
You could get arrested.
What were you doing this weekend? I was studying the Communist Manifesto.
Hey,
that's what I was
doing. That reminds me of the joke about the preacher who was a golf addict. And one Sunday, he told the church, you know, I just can't make it in. I don't know if he lied to him, but he said, I just don't feel well, or I'm under the weather, or we'd get somebody else to preach. And so he drove 50 miles or so, went golfing, and hit a hole in one.
Uh-oh.
And he couldn't tell anybody.
God's ways.
I'm confused, though, Tim. Yeah. How do you know about it, then?
The mystery of his ways.
Well, I've never hit a hole-in-one, although I've got 3 inches from one. What else you got, Jeremy?
Well, I came prepared.
If you don't, Fred's got some stuff.
Go ahead, Fred.
Well, we may be shocked. Donald Trump is busy, very busy. Already this morning, he has had meetings with business leaders. This afternoon, he's going to meet with union leaders. Remember, this is one of the things he promised. He's going to bring people together. He's a businessman. So that's what he's been up to. Also up on Capitol Hill today, we'll likely get a vote on Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. It appears that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and even Marco Rubio are now on board, and he'll make it out of committee. But the Dems are saying the full vote in the Senate is going to be another thing. They're going to stall. That's what Chuck Schumer.
What about Jeff Sessions?
That's going to be stalled also. They're going to lay things out. They're now saying it could be March before we see votes.
No. You're not going to. I'm not saying you're incorrect, Fred. I'm saying you're not going to get away with that with Trump. You're just not. And Mitch McConnell and the Republicans need to do something. Mitch McConnell can control the situation too. They need to get those votes.
Absolutely.
They need to get those votes going, and so President Trump can get his cabinet and get started to work. We'll be back in 5 minutes after the news. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.